All right, I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Natalia.
And this is Till Death Do Us Part.
Happy New Year!
Happy New Year! We made it through the holidays.
Yes. Very quiet New Year's.
That's the way I like it.
Yes. I did enjoy watching the celebrations on the TV as they go across the world. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you watch it.
I did a little bit. The only thing I really watched was Miley Cyrus and Dolly Parton because I love Dolly Parton.
So it's amazing. Yeah. I watched a lot of just TV because we stayed in. It was really rainy weather here in the Northeast anyway. It wasn't a good day for going out for anything.
Yeah, it was bad weather here, too.
Yeah. Quick hill that I will die on. Not worth it to go to Times Square for New Year's Eve. I don't care. You're stuck there all day. No bathroom. For what?
As soon as I heard that people were wearing diapers to go sit in Times Square, I was like, all right, that's a no for me, dog.
Yeah, hard pass. I've never done it. I won't ever do it. And I don't regret that.
No regrets.
However, you know, sometimes it's nice some years to go to a party, whatever. This year, just sat on the couch. I think, hands down, the absolute best, wildest celebration was in Brazil. Holy cow.
What happened?
Their firework display puts every other firework display in the world to shame. I don't know if it's just because their government right now is in such turmoil that they need to wow the people. I think right now their president is just really trying to say, hey,
pull out all the stops.
Yes, yes. Because I think he did that a few months ago when he took power. So I heard that he really likes fireworks. But
oh my
their
God.
Firework display was top of the line. I saw fireworks I've never seen before. It went on, I want to say, for like 45 minutes of the most beautiful fireworks.
That's largest, huge.
Humongous. Absolutely. Mwah. Chef's kiss. Brazil did it right. Made every other country, made Disney fireworks look petty. Okay. Amazing. So snaps to Brazil for their fireworks. I'll hand them that. They did it beautifully. So very nice
for
that.
One thing I did see what other countries, other states, other places do instead of a ball drop. And in Idaho, they drop a potato. And in Tucson, Arizona, this is so random. We didn't plan this conversation at all, but no. I swear to God, I saw this in Tucson, Arizona. They did a Taco Bell sign.
That's beautiful.
And so, yeah, I would love to know what other places do instead of a ball drop. Do they drop, like, I love the potato idea.
We're going to put that up on the fan page, and people are going to need to tell us where they're from and what they drop from their hometowns. I want to know all the wildest things that people have at their celebrations for New Year's. I want to know what
it sounds so fantastic.
I love that. You know, I've never thought about that. What else
right?
you can drop besides a sparkly ball, but that's awesome. I love that.
Awesome.
Going into the New Year's, let's talk about what shows we're watching for the New Year's. Because I know both you and I have a definite theme going into New Year's for our shows.
Yes. So Yellowstone, obviously.
Yeah.
I don't know why it took me so long. I thought I wouldn't like that type of show. I was wrong. I love everything about that type of show.
Yes. I also was not really aware of that whole genre. And then when I was aware, thought to myself, nah, I don't know. I've never been into that Western thing. Doesn't seem like it's for me. I also was wrong.
It is my type.
Absolutely. So I just was randomly thrown the prequel to Yellowstone on a plane ride and started watching 1883. I didn't know that it was the prequel to Yellowstone. And now I'm really happy because then I realized that I started watching them in order. So now I'm about to finish 1883. I'm at the end of that season. Then I will go into Yellowstone, and then I will move into 1923 that has Harrison Ford, who I adore. Have loved him since I was a child. Han Solo started my entire bad boy obsession, taught me early that is an issue I should be working on in therapy. Very much into this entire time in American history. And right? I am into it and kind of unlocked a memory. Tell me if you did this as a child. I was hardcore into playing the Oregon Trail.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It was, so we had like a computer lab growing up, like mm-hmm. in school. And we had those, oh my God, I'm going to sound so old. Mm-hmm. But it was like giant discs that you would put in the Mac.
Yes.
And then it would be the original version of Oregon Trail. And we always were seated with like a partner. I never let my partner have a turn.
Yep. I absolutely dominated. I wanted to make all the decisions. And so now I'm watching the show, and like the absolute jerk that I am, I'm watching it and I'm like, oops, guess you should have spent more money on that axle. Guess you should have sorted right? on your supplies and you wouldn't be dying right now. That's yeah, a mistake.
Guess you're not going to afford the river.
But really, you watch the show and you start thinking, not that long ago, that we were plowing across America on these little wagons. Really?
And it took months. I underestimated the amount of time because it's like four episodes in and they're like, we're still in West Texas. And I'm like, yep. What?
They're not even out of Texas yet. I know. They go so slowly. It's so well done. You really lose yourself in it. The whole thing, beautiful acting, beautiful costumes, everything really immersive. I highly recommend.
Yeah, I really want to get one of those hats, like a big cowboy hat.
Yes.
I will not look good in it, but I'll feel like I'm on the trail.
I'm ready to get a horse.
Right?
I think that it's going to reduce my carbon footprint. It's got to be better than the car.
Yeah, that's true. Screw you, Tesla.
Yep.
we just beat the system. What is your episode on today?
We are going to head into the time period that we've been obsessed with. I'm super excited. I'm going to read you a romantic letter sent by a woman nicknamed Lady Bluebeard in America's Midwest in 1900.
Oh.
Listen to this beautiful letter. To my darling friend, no woman in the world is happier than I am. I know that you are now to come to me and be my own. I can tell from your letters you're the man I want. It doesn't take one long to tell when to like a person. And you, I like better than anyone in the world.
I feel like it's almost too good to be true.
Tell me that you wouldn't immediately drop your panties for a letter like that. Because I would. Because I think that nowadays, you're lucky if you get a text, are you up?
I was just going to say that. You up? You out?
No one writes like that anymore.
No.
Answering this letter would have been a mistake, though. A mistake that would end with you being poisoned, then dismembered, and ultimately fed to a legion of farm pigs.
What?
Yes. You would have been one of the many victims taken in by Belle Gunis, aka Lady Bluebeard, or Hell's Belle. She murdered an official 14 people, but is almost certain to have murdered almost 40 men between 1884 and 1908. So climb aboard the wagon, kids, because I'm going to tell you the tale. Many immigrant women in the late 1800s and early 1900s dreamed of coming to America and having rich lives filled with abundance. They longed for stable work, big families they could feed well, and good marriages. This might sound sexist, old-fashioned, or conventional, and none of those descriptions are wrong. But that was the general attitude, the general attainable goal for a woman in that time in those circumstances. Unless you were someone like Belle Gunis. Belle didn't dream of sharing her life with a strong, providing husband and a brood of children. Belle didn't dream of sharing anything at all. What Belle wanted was money, and she wanted it all for herself. far off in Norway in November of 1859, a Scorpio named Brynhild Storseth was born. At 14, she had saved enough money herding cattle to immigrate to New York, and she changed her name to Belle. She then moved to Chicago and found a job in a butcher shop until Mads Sorsen proposed to the tall, muscular woman in 1884. In the late 1800s, being a sturdy woman with ample breasts meant you would probably bear many children and that you could work hard, and also probably that you were healthy with enough money to eat. Seriously.
Okay.
You weren't some scrawny chick who was going to waste away with consumption or die in childbirth. So many men found Belle alluring. She was really tall. She was almost 6 feet tall and over 250 pounds. She was extremely muscular from years of herding cattle. And when she would put on her big hats and the flowing skirts, the fashion for that time, and she would go down the street, she attracted a lot of attention in a very charming way. She held herself very elegantly. She apparently spoke very well with a lot of charm.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. So Mads and Belle opened a candy shop, which somehow burned to the ground. It also destroyed their home. This was the beginning of a disturbing pattern. The insurance paid out on both the home and the candy store. Mads and Belle had children, and Belle also strangely had this young girl suddenly in her care named Jenny Olsen that she called her foster daughter. No idea where this girl came from. Records at that time, you know, they were practically non-existent. So no idea how this girl came into their lives. Both of the couple's youngest children died as infants from what they put on the death certificate as inflammation of the large intestine, or what we would probably call now colitis. Yeah, and that can be caused by a lot of things. However, it can result from poisoning, which we will see later is Belle's calling card.
Do you think she was killing her kids?
So we'll go into it. Belle collected insurance on both the babies, and some sources don't consider the children as Belle's first victims. They say that Belle perhaps saw them die and saw how easy it was to collect the insurance, which inspired her to start killing herself. I do not subscribe to this idea. The fact that she was already in the business of burning down buildings to get insurance money is a pretty good indication to me that she is already violent. And while arson does not equal murder, the fact that both infants died from the same thing that looks like poisoning, which we then learn is her first go-to for killing someone, makes me think that these babies were her first victims.
Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So a lot of sources say that no, they don't count the babies as her first victims. However, I really don't feel that those babies were by accident. It seems too much of a coincidence. It's too specific.
Yeah.
Then on July 30th, 1900, her husband, Mads Sorensen, passed away from a, quote, cerebral hemorrhage. Belle tells the coroner that her husband had come home complaining of a headache and had laid down in their room. When she went in to check on him later, he was dead. Interesting that the husband had not one, but two life insurance policies active on the day he died. One policy was expiring that very day, and the other policy was starting on the same exact day.
That's too much. I mean, those insurance policies, that's fishy.
Yeah. I don't know if life insurance policies still work like this. I'm going to be honest. It seems like it shouldn't. All right. Maybe one of our listeners can message us on Instagram or email us at tilldeathdoispartpodcast@gmail.com. Either way, Belle took $5,000, which is worth about $178,000 today. And she took off to a little place called La Porte, Indiana, where she bought herself a pig farm. I am sure a lot of you can see where this is going, but just wait until you can see the twists it's going to take. I promise you cannot predict the ending. In April of 1902, Belle married her second husband, Peter Gunness, a widower with a baby girl whom Belle promised to care for. The following week, Peter came back home from work one day to find the baby had died while home with Belle.
I would never let any child be in the care of Belle, but how he would have no idea if he was, oh my God.
I mean,
just keep going.
She had just moved there, no records. It's 1902. You think you just married this woman. You're a widower. You're grieving. You want someone to raise your daughter. And 1 week later, your baby's
dead. And when she writes letters like that, holy shit.
Yeah. The death was ruled as unknown cause, but we can guess who's responsible. Especially since 8 months later, Peter himself was dead on the floor with a meat grinder smashed into his skull.
Jesus.
According to Belle, he had fallen while trying to take it down from a high shelf, and it had fallen on his head. This time, the coroner was suspicious, but could not find any evidence against Belle, and so the case had to be closed. Jeez. Once again, collects insurance money, this time $3,000 for her husband's death.
What is she doing with all this insurance money? Like, does she work or no? She just has a taste for the good life.
Yeah, I mean, she's had all this money shored up. So an interesting side note that I didn't write directly into this, but I had read. When she bought this pig farm, it had a dark past. Apparently, the mob had used this pig farm for sex work, and it had been shut down. Local authorities had found out it had also been used for human trafficking. Politicians had been found to have their dirty hands in it. And so Belle got it for a really good deal. Nobody wanted it. I think she had a lot of money. She didn't need to work at this time. She was very careful not to marry penniless people. She very carefully arranged her marriages.
Wow.
Yes. Which,
I mean, I support you in that. Belle, get it. But geez.
Yeah. By 1905, Belle started to put ads in the newspaper seeking men for marriage. In a time when women couldn't even wear pants, I do find it fascinating that society allowed women to solicit men for any type of relationship in such a public manner.
Mm-hmm.
But I digress. A farmer from Wisconsin answered Belle's ad. Henry Gerholt wrote to his family, letting them know of his intention to go marry this woman. And when they didn't ever hear from him again, they decided to contact Belle. She told the family he had run off with horse traders.
Okay.
All right. And I hate to do this, but we've been talking for a while. Can we pause? So let us just pause here. And then when I come back, we can pick up here, which is a good place because this is where she like starts murdering everybody.
All right. Like, cool. Peter.
So Belle is going to be roping these guys in. This is the ad that she would put in the newspaper. I'd like to read it to you. I think a lot of people are going to recognize this one sentence. At least I know I heard this sentence a lot. I never knew it came from this. Comely widow who owns a large farm in one of the finest districts in La Porte, Indiana, desires to make the acquaintance of a gentleman equally well provided with view of joining forth. No replies by letter considered unless sender is willing to follow answer with a personal visit. Triflers need not apply.
Triflers need not apply?
Yes.
I like that.
So have you, so I've heard triflers need not apply said
I've
before.
I've heard that too.
I didn't know it came from Belle.
I didn't know that either.
I've heard it like jokingly said. I just didn't know a serial killer said it.
That's epic.
To be fair, I didn't do any further research to see if maybe she took it from maybe another place. Maybe it comes from a famous movie or something. If someone out there corrects us, I will immediately apologize.
I like that we've unknowingly been quoting a serial killer.
I thought that was hilarious. So that amazing ad was roping these guys in. We have Joe Moe of Minnesota, withdrew all his money from the bank and came to the farm in 1906, never to be seen again. His watch was later found in the possession of one of Bell's farmhands, whom we will shortly be introduced to. Bell lured in two Olafs, one from Wisconsin and one from Chicago, respectively. Ole Budsberg, an elderly widower from Wisconsin, arrived on the farm after he sold everything he owned and came to marry Bell. He was like this little old guy. His two sons later inquired after him, but Bell told them she had never met their father. Benjamin Carling of Illinois left his wife to come meet Bell with $1,000.
That's so bold. These are basically like glorified classified ads, remember, from like the 80s and 90s?
Yeah.
And I just can't imagine being like, you know what? That sounds so good. I'm leaving everything I know for this Bell.
It's terrible. Oh. His wife is the one who would later identify his remains. I can't.
Oh my God.
A man from Missouri answered her ad, named George Anderson, and he arrived ready to marry Bell. On his first night at the farm, Bell served him a nice dinner, and then he retired for the night. But George was a light sleeper, and in the middle of the night, he woke to find Bell standing over him. He jumps so out of bed, he runs out of the house, and he doesn't stop. He books it. Like, doesn't even grab his bag. He books it with his coat straight to the train station. He was the only man to ever escape the clutches of Lady Bluebeard.
And he didn't get poisoned or anything?
So whatever she may have put in his food, either he was resistant to it. It doesn't say if later he got sick or, you know what I mean? Like, some people are highly resistant to chemicals.
True.
Maybe he didn't eat enough of whatever she served him. It doesn't say if he cleaned his plate. You know what I mean? Like, the details are.
Gotcha.
For whatever reason, he survived enough to wake up and get away. Because he collaborates later with the stories to say, like, you know what? Hey, I was there. This is the creepy thing that happened to me. So that's how we know that he was there and that he got away. Yeah. I've only mentioned a handful of men Bell killed over the years. Bell lured dozens of men to her farm, sometimes as often as one a week. A local taxi man later said he would drop these men off and watch Bell lug giant suitcases into the house with ease, quote, lifting them as easily as if they were filled with marshmallows.
Oh, I love that description.
I know. These people were so eloquent with their, like, even the taxi guy. All these people were great with their words. Where is this? These people were so well educated. People just speak like this now. You can imagine that it would be no problem for her, this muscular, tall woman. She can lug these suitcases. She could definitely lug bodies to her pigs.
She's a strong farm girl.
Yep. The taxi man also said he dropped these men off, but he never saw them leave. It was around this time that rumors really started to fly. Do you remember Jenny Olsen, Bell's foster daughter?
Oh, from her first-ish marriage?
Yeah, way, way back. Yeah, all those
way back.
They're around. They're not really like in the story. Bell, I don't think, is very maternal, but they're around. So Bell's foster daughter, she's been here in the background helping on the farm.
Yeah. Oh, she's still living with her and she hasn't been killed?
Nope.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Jenny was overheard telling a schoolmate, "My mama killed my papa, Peter. She hit him with a meat cleaver and he died." Peter Gunis, the one that she killed before she moved to the pig farm. But yeah, Jenny's running her mouth. So now the town is running their mouth. Not long after this, in December of 1906, Bell sends Jenny off to boarding school in California, and the rumors quiet down for a time. Bell has a lot of work on her hands with all the pigs on the farm and the bodies, I'm guessing. So she hires a farmhand named Ray Lamphere. Ray and Bell had a relationship for a short time, but Bell rejected him in favor of bringing this parade of wealthy men in. Ray burned up with jealousy, but he wouldn't leave Bell's side. He was obsessed with her.
Oh my. So was he like a scorned lover because he was rejected or broken up with?
Yes, but he couldn't do anything about, like, yes, he's the scorned lover, but he's like so in love with her, he won't hurt her.
Oh my God. Okay.
He like still does her bidding.
That's almost just as bad.
It's sad. Yeah. In 1908, Belle lured in the victim that would be her downfall, Andrew Helgelian. She wrote to Andrew, "My heart beats in wild rapture for you. My Andrew, come prepared to stay forever." I guess she meant that. After Andrew disappeared, his brother demanded to know what happened to him. He did not let up. Belle began to grow worried that the brother is going to show up on her doorstep like any second with the police.
Mm-hmm.
So she had to come up with a plan to shut this whole operation down. In April of 1908, Belle went to the police and claimed that Ray Lamphier had gone mad with jealousy and was threatening her life. Belle stated, quote, "That man is out to get me. I fear one of these nights he will burn my house to the ground." That night, the farmhouse burns to the ground.
That seems a little too coincidental.
The police found the bodies of Belle's children and also
of Jenny?
No. Jenny's in boarding school. But
oh, okay, okay.
They remember the other children? So all of these silent children in this story, they had all been there in the background working the farm, going to school. But now they're dead in the farmhouse.
Yes.
Okay. So the bodies of the three children are dead in the burned house. Also a body that looks like it could be Belle. Except it's hard to tell because it's missing its head. Ray Lamphier immediately charged with arson and murder. When Ray was arrested, they found in his possession Joe Moe's watch. Remember Joe Moe? And Henry Gerhold, his coat. Looks like Ray knew something.
Those are like, were they trophies? They wouldn't be his trophies, right?
Who knows, right? Did she give these to Ray to make Ray look guilty?
Yeah.
Did Ray see these things and steal them because they're nice items and he's just some poor farmhand?
Yeah, or like he picks through all the luggage and stuff that's left behind and takes what he wants because he's like, I know what, these guys are dead or whatever, so I'm going to go shopping.
Is this Ray's cut because he was working with Belle because he loves her and he was all in on this?
Yeah, that's what I would think.
Or... did Ray kill everybody because he's in love with her and he took this shit on his way out?
I mean, I could see how all of those different avenues can be justified.
Right? Let's leave Ray for now.
Okay.
In the meantime, Andrew's brother shows up in town, right? He was coming.
Oh, shit.
Insists on searching the property further for his brother's body too. And the police find Andrew and a whole lot more.
Uh-oh.
Not only did they find the pieces of Andrew, they find the pieces of all the men that Belle had poisoned, chopped up, and then whatever the pigs didn't eat, she tossed and buried in the ground.
Oh my God.
But do you remember little Jenny?
Yeah.
The one sent to, quote, boarding school.
Okay.
No, they found her too.
No, really?
Yeah, they found her.
Oh my God. I was hoping Jenny was like safe sent away somewhere.
No, Jenny was there. It took authorities 2 days to uncover all the various body parts. 14 almost complete skeletons were able to be identified along with their personal effects and letters and were able to be like completely identified. Like, so like Henry Gerhold, Joe Moe, like all of the ones that were attributed to her official 14 plus Jenny. But the sheer number of bones and body parts indicate that approximately 40 men were murdered on that farm during Belle's years of terror.
40? Is that what they know of or estimate?
Of what they collected, that is, like all the body parts indicate, about 40. They said, they were like between 40, 42. And I mean, the pictures are online. And some of the pictures were like really graphic. Like they showed like entire arms that they had dug up.
Wow.
So yeah, like the pieces, some of the pieces were pretty intact. I mean, she was doing this within a pretty tight frame of like less than a decade. So like, you know, like a lot of the remains were like, I mean, they're there.
Yeah.
They're there.
I can't believe, I mean, she just had no value. Like as soon as she either got what she needed or got what she wanted, it was like you were disposable.
Yeah. She just wanted their money.
She just wanted what she wanted and nothing else. And then did she just throw them, like the body in with the pigs?
So we're going to find out exactly what she was doing to them. We're going to go there.
Well, we have to get
back to what happened to Belle, right? The headless body, right? We're forgetting this one important thing.
That's true. Okay.
Yeah. So the coroner trying to determine if the headless corpse belongs to Belle. But we got problems. For one, it seemed too short. For another, it seems too skinny. Got to imagine, though, how hard it is in 1908, without a head, for a coroner to identify a body, especially after it's been burned up in a fire. Right?
Yeah, how would you know if it was skinny? I mean, if someone's, like, big-boned, I guess, but...
Yeah, so, I mean, there are ways for that. I mean, because it's not like it's going to be... We know this, right, that from other serial killers who have tried to purposefully burn bodies in fires... The fire doesn't get hot enough to incinerate the body completely.
Right.
So it's not going to be burned down completely to the bone. So there's going to be some flesh still left on the bone. And there are ways to tell from the lengths of the bones and how tall the person was, like approximately how like big and how much fat was left on. Anyway, I know there are people who are like, why are you telling me this? I was trying to eat something. Anyway.
I know you're here listening. Like, yeah, that makes sense. And everyone listening is probably like, fast forward.
You know you're listening to a true crime podcast, right? We've been we have been this disgusting before. Stop it.
Yes.
Anyway, I mean, she was a very, very, we talked about her being like over 250 pounds. She was supposed to be almost 6 feet tall, and they said that the headless corpse looked more like it was 5'2". So that's not like a small discrepancy.
That's significant.
That is a huge discrepancy. Like a head is not going to be an extra, like how many more inches would you need then? Like 10 inches difference? Like,
yeah, that's significant. I mean,
you can't.
Yeah.
So anyway, there was enough of a difference that people were thinking, this does not look like her body. Anyway, they couldn't do it back then, but in 2008, investigators used DNA from the envelopes that Belle had licked when she corresponded with these men and compared it to the headless body that they exhumed. And they still couldn't come to a conclusion. Womp womp. Sorry.
that's such a, like, that would be really fascinating. They should do it again. I'm sure have the way to do it now, right?
15 years later, maybe. So to this day, no one really knows if that was the body of Belle Gunas.
I don't think it was, because she was like bigger and like more strong. She worked in a butcher shop. She's Norwegian, and like those people carry logs and shit. Like,
I mean, many people believe Belle masterminded this entire plan with Ray Lamphere as the fall guy. Planted those items, like gave these to Ray as like, oh, these are gifts to you. The watch, the coat. you know, she wanted to keep all the money to herself, especially when you consider that over her lifetime, Belle had managed to save over $250,000.
That's quite a bit.
In today's amount, in today's money, is $6.7 million.
That's huge.
Not
Do you
bad.
Think,
Not bad.
Where would she have gone, though? Like, back to Norway, or?
Back then, you didn't have to, like, report to anybody. You could change your name willy-nilly. You know what I mean? Like, you could just be whoever you want to
be. Off the grid.
You could just buy a ticket to any country you wanted. Nobody asked questions. Buy
you
a new
totally
hat,
could.
Take off, like, to wherever you want. Start a new life.
And I wonder if any other places, like in the U.S., had like a woman who went through a lot of husbands or something and were fed to the pigs, or I don't know, like had all of a sudden like an influx of murders after she.
I would think if there were many that they would have by now, at least somebody would have seen that two stories that huge. They would have made that comparison. So I don't think so. However, I did see that there was one incident that they saw years later, I think in Southern California, of a woman that had poisoned, I don't know if she just straight up poisoned. Yeah, I think she would have like straight up poisoned like two or three husbands before she like fled the police in like Southern California and was rumored to have been like a tall, like European woman, but nobody knew if it was her. But like, that's like, just seems very like folklorish to me.
Meh, yeah.
Still not enough of not enough of the same MO to be like, yeah, that must have been her.
Mm-hmm.
So no, to more to your point, no. Not anybody who ever matched her description, but with $6.7 million, honey, you can retire that. You don't need that.
Yeah, she could have gone anywhere, done anything.
Yeah, no. That's she doesn't need that anymore. She can just take that money. And if you're going to be smart, lay low.
Yeah.
Now you stalk. Don't be greedy. That's when you get caught.
Yep.
And so people think she absolutely masterminded this, especially because when authorities check, Belle had withdrawn all the money the day before the fire.
Oh, yeah. That says she, yeah. And fires, like, she burned down or supposedly had those two fires with the insurance fraud beforehand. Oh, are you there?
Yes, I put myself on mute. Sorry.
Oh.
I said, definitely seems like there's a pattern.
Yeah, definitely seems like a pattern. That was so crazy. I mean, I've heard of Belle Guinness, but I didn't know she was an immigrant, and I didn't know all that stuff that she had. The guy who she used as like the fall guy.
Yeah, well, we're not done with him. We're not done, Steph.
Oh, we're not done with him?
No.
God, because it just keeps getting juicier and juicier.
Yes. No, before you jump in and say, duh, she obviously planted the corpse and faked her death, I have to tell you what happened with Ray and his version of events.
Oh, my God. Tell me.
Because Ray Lamphere ultimately charged with arson, but not murder. Ray insisted he never saw Belle kill anyone and that he knew nothing of her murder as well. He pleaded innocent to all charges, and his lawyer said there was no physical evidence to prove Ray had committed any of the murder. So Ray was sentenced to 21 years in state prison in Indiana. However, Ray died early on of tuberculosis in 1909. So this is like a year after the trial. He's dead. On his deathbed, the whole story changed. That's when he confessed that he knew all about how Belle poisoned these men. Then she would chop them up with meat cleavers, her years at that butcher shop coming quite in handy. Then he would help her get rid of the remains by giving them to the hogs, and they would bury whatever the pigs didn't eat. Ray also confessed that Belle had tricked a woman from Chicago into coming to the farm under the pretense of hiring her as a housekeeper. Then she murdered her and chopped off her head to use the body as a decoy. She told Ray to help her set fire to the house and then meet her at a designated place so that they could run away together. But Belle never showed up. She left Ray holding the bag.
God.
Sad, right? But maybe we need to consider that Ray wasn't telling the truth because a lover scorned does do some crazy shit. And there is another confession that Ray made secretly to a Reverend Edwin Schnell. Yeah, I know. Take a breath.
Well, isn't what you say to, like, in a confession supposed to be confidential? Like, come on.
Here's what happened with the Reverend. The confession was transcribed and then signed by Lamphere in front of the Reverend and the wife. Then the Reverend kept it sealed in his safe. In the secret confession, Ray spoke all about, yes, the horrible things that had happened on the farm, that he helped Belle do all these things, how she killed the men, all her methods. But in the end, he admitted he had killed Belle out of a jealous rage. He beheaded her with an axe, killed the children, and then put kerosene all over the house and set it on fire.
That seems like something, I don't know. I don't believe that series of events. I believe more that Belle was like, hey, if you help me do this, we can run away together. And then she just ghosted him.
Until he died, Ray would still speak fondly about Belle all the way to the bitter end. He was so in love with her. He kept thinking she would write to him or something. He would talk about her all the time to his roommate. He was like a lovesick puppy. Mm-hmm. Belle never wrote, though, if she was out there. Maybe Ray had just gone crazy. Maybe he was just delusional. Maybe he was a psychopath. It's up to you. If you think she ran off with the millions of dollars and never having to pay for all those crimes that she committed.
I'd be pissed if I was Ray. I'd be like, nope, this is where she is. She wronged me, so I'm going to wrong her now. I wouldn't stay loyal to her for standing me up like that.
Yeah. So apparently he used to tell his roommate, because his roommate would try to tell him, like, come on, man, like, she ghosted you. Why are you still protecting her? She obviously doesn't love you. Like, fuck that bitch.
Right.
Ray used to be like, no, you don't understand. She does love me deep down inside. One day she'll come back for me. Oh, man. He did a number on that one.
Wow.
The roommate, I guess, felt bad for him. So he would try sometimes to, like, try a different tactic. You know what? She's not really out there, man. You're crazy. She's dead. Get into his head like that. And Ray would be like, no, she's not. She's out. Yeah, she left me holding the bag. Yeah, she framed me for this, but she's alive. She's out there.
The commitment.
According to him, she did get away. She did not die in that fire. I really do think that that wasn't her body, just because of the forensics of it. The body wasn't the right size.
Yeah, because you can't fake that. But also, like, where did the head go?
And I think the most telling for me is the fact that the day before she goes and makes those statements to the police, Ray's going to kill me. My house is going to burn down. And then they find Ray with all of this shit of the dead guys. Oh, there's just been a complaint about you going to be murdering someone. You're going to be setting her house on fire the day before. Oh, and she just withdrew all her money the day before. Stop it.
It's too much.
Come on. Like, you couldn't have been more obvious if you tried. Like, could you have waited 3 days? Could you?
Or just any other amount of time. You could have done anything else. What if you just left? You didn't have to burn the whole house down.
And she had to have a dead body. The equivalent of $6.7 million, they would have never stopped looking for her. How do you fake your own death? I think it's hard.
Yeah.
She had to fake her death.
She had to do something drastic. All right. I see that.
She had to go to level 1,000.
She did.
So yeah, that's the story of Hell's Belle. My big sources were Wiki and Legends of America. She is this very spoken about, it, like, in a historical way in the Midwest, like in that part of, I guess, Indiana. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of weird because they talked about how around Halloween, a lot of the kids dress up as her. And I
know.
Yeah. And I thought that, like, that's kind of wrong. That would be like dressing up like as Ted Bundy or
the,
like,
Zodiac killer.
Yeah. That's a real killer. That's a person who, like, really hurt people. Like, I don't, that's not cool. It's not just like, that's not like dressing up like Michael Myers. That's not the same. And I get that it was a really like, oh, it's because it's old timey and because she looks like kind of like a little old lady, sort of like with her hair in a weird bun or whatever. But I don't know. I don't think that's funny. Like, I wouldn't let my kid do that.
Would it be funny if it were a couple's costume and the significant other dressed up as a pig or like a big bag of money?
This is why we're going to hell. Steph, no.
Not funny. Okay.
The other one was Ray Lamphere because he has like the most awful like handlebar mustache where it curls three times.
He does look like sound like an old timey villain.
And you see the pictures in that sepia brown. I swear to God. Go Google it. It's awful.
That almost sounds made up, but it's not.
Picture's literally this dark brown. It's like this terrible quality. I mean, you'll see it. The Spotify picture, I usually will put a picture of the killer. Honestly, I don't know how all these guys fell for her. I would pass. This is not a smash. This is a hard pass for me. I'm going to tell you. I don't know what they're talking about the allure being other than, yeah, I think she would have survived, like a drought.
Yeah, I mean, I would choose her for my kickball team, but I wouldn't.
She would survive the Oregon Trail.
I would pick her for to be in my wagon, but not anything else. I wouldn't hit it. I would just quit it.
On that note, I'd like to give a glowing review on Dots Pretzels that you sent me over the holidays. I have had to have so much willpower because of my gallbladder. I can have 5 pieces before I have to stop, but they are so delicious.
Right? I had heard of them also. I'm not a pretzel person. I don't really care. I don't know what they sprinkle on there, but they're fantastic. And you can get them at Target.
I also was never a pretzel person, but these Dots Pretzels, man, somebody traded their soul to the devil for this fucking recipe. Yes. I swear they are delicious.
It's ridiculous.
Try
it. It's so stupid, but
if you're
sitting there, wherever
you are thinking they can't be that good, there's no pretzel on earth that's this delicious that these girls are giggling about it. You're wrong. I promise you, you're wrong. There's no pretzel I've ever had that's been this good, ever.
Dots Pretzels, not a sponsor yet.
But we will. We'll happily do it.
If you need a video of me sampling all the different types of Dots Pretzels, I will do that for you.
If you need me to lay in a little kiddie pool filled with pretzels, I will do that for you. But then all those pretzels need to be given to us for free. That's the only thing I ask.
Yeah, that's the only thing. That's the only stipulation. You can pay us with pretzels.
Just free pretzels. That's all I want. Well, until next week.
All right. Until next week.
Bye.
Bye.